So while we come into a new year, we have to know how to face it well. Because the Bible says that some who have cast off faith have become shipwreck. And I've seen too many Christians become shipwreck. At least they got stranded on the reef. Their boat's coming up on the shore, and it's got a big hole in it. I'm not saying that they don't go to heaven, but too many powerful men and women of God have been sidelined because they lost faith. I spoke about it on Sunday, about what happens when somebody loses faith and what the things are that conspire against us to cause us to lose faith. Really, I would have to say that it was part one of a five-part series. Tonight, you can either call this part one or part two, depending on when you're coming in. As we go into this series, I want to give you the titles for the messages that are coming. Because the overall series is called Building Powerful Faith. And on Sunday, we talked about why people lose faith. Tonight, I want to talk to you about harvesting faith. That's the title of this message. You could subtitle it Designing a Faith Lifestyle. Harvesting faith. Then next week, I want to speak to you on growing powerful faith. How to grow your faith. And then in study number four, we're going to talk about the overcoming faith. We're going to go to a whole new level. Talk about the overcoming faith that the Bible talks about and how to walk in it. And lastly, on our fifth study, we're going to talk about powerful acts of faith. And I want to share with you out of my own experience powerful acts of faith. Today, I talked with a man on the phone from West Virginia. He called me, and he's a man who died in my arms. And we prayed over him and raised him from the dead. And his name is Marvin Rollins, and it happened here in Charlotte in a Presbyterian church. I have seen so many miracles in my life. And on our final study, we're going to talk about powerful acts of faith. These messages are progressive in nature. Do not think you can jump to number five without walking through the first four. If you do not understand what it means to have a life of faith, do not think you can just ring the bell and the miracles will drop from heaven like it's supper time. You know, sometimes a miracle comes just because of the mercies of God. But when people in Bible times, in New Testament times, or in Old Testament times, became sick, they called for somebody who had a gift of healing, where there was powerful, powerful signs and wonders that followed them. Of course, Jesus was the greatest example. But even after Jesus was gone, it says that the apostles did many extraordinary miracles. And when people got sick, they called for the apostle Peter to come and to pray over them. And they took handkerchiefs to Paul that he might pray over those handkerchiefs or touch them. And then they took them back and people were healed. It says that they brought people out on the streets, that even the shadow of the apostle Peter would come upon them. Because they knew there was healing that had come into this man's life. But this man was not a healing apostle when he first saw Jesus. He went through a discipleship program. And this is just a month of teaching, five messages. But I ask you to do your best to be at all of them. You don't know what you miss when you're not here. Some pieces of the puzzle, at the end of the day, maybe at the end of a season, you put the picture together and you find there's a piece missing. But God provided it. Don't be a Thomas. If you can be here, I encourage you to be here. So tonight, we're talking about harvesting faith. And I would like you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4 and then Acts chapter 11. We're going to read these verses simultaneously. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. We read about a man named Joseph who was called Barnabas. And it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Tells us something about this man. We go to chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And we read in verse 22. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the manifest presence of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for bringing your people here together tonight. And now, Holy Spirit, we ask you to teach us and train us and show us your ways. And let us walk as people of faith in a world that's lacking it. And may we, Lord, be those who bring faith to others as if we were ambassadors of faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've met some amazing people of faith throughout my life. My father was one of them. He was born in Mongolia, although he's English, Welsh, from Welsh descent. And his parents actually came from Canada. And they traveled in 1920 to China, and then by ox cart way up into the northern parts of China and into Mongolia. And then 200 miles inland toward the Gobi Desert, they came to a place called Gashete. And it was a little village with Mongolian and Chinese people. And they had a compound there where they fed the poor, and they had a church, and they sent out missionaries, and they started a school. And it was called Mongolia for Messiah Missions. My father was born there. And there was a time after 7 years or 5 years after he was born when the main missionary and his wife and family needed to go home to Canada for a year to get away and have furlough. And so they went. And my grandmother, whose name was Clara Wins, was then in charge of everything. She had no husband at the time. My grandfather had heat stroke and left to come home, but she stayed on the mission field, now with two children, a little girl and a little boy. And she led the compound with one other lady. And she ran the school and the church and the missions work and the feeding station for the poor. And my dad used to tell me when I was a little boy of the miracles that happened over and over again, how their lives were threatened by robbers and those who had left the army and become renegade soldiers who rode on horseback through the deserts, kind of like the Old West, only it was the Old West in China. And how again and again the miraculous working power of Christ was seen by them. They lived this amazing life of faith. So I'm very familiar with people of faith. My father, when he grew up, he went to England, and there he sat under Smith Wigglesworth and George Jeffreys, some very powerful people of faith. My dad has told me that when he met Smith Wigglesworth, he actually walked into a room where Smith was praying and nobody else was there. And my dad had to get something out of the room. And he was just 18, 19 years of age. And he walked into the room. And there was a chair in the middle of the room. And Smith Wigglesworth was sitting on it in the presence of the Lord. And he walked into the room. And he felt the power of God that was absolutely awesome. And I saw my dad when he was a young preacher and how he ministered to so many people with extraordinary faith. Even when he didn't have any money and he lost his job and his car was repossessed. And I never heard him complain. I never heard him say anything that didn't have faith in it. He was always, yes, but God will make a way. Everything will be okay. In the darkest hours of my childhood poverty, my dad was a man of faith and a preacher of the gospel. And God always took care of us, watched over us, and blessed us. And when he passed away, just a few years ago, he has 11 children. And he gave each of those children in his will more than $30,000. And you wonder, how did this poor preacher ever do such a thing? But he did it because of the grace and blessings of God. And he was a man of faith from beginning to end. Now, Barnabas was such a man. His name was actually Joseph. But Barnabas was such an encourager and such a good man and such a man full of faith that the apostles called him son of encouragement. Son being Bar and Nabas being of encouragement. Barnabas, son of encouragement. They changed his name because he shone with this faith, a kindness that brought faith to everywhere he went. See, you can have faith, although it is a gift of God. The Bible says that faith is not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, which means you can't have it by saying more Bible verses, and you can't have it by going to church more, and you can't have it by paying more tithes and offerings, and you can't have faith just because you have mind over matter and you determine that you will have faith. You cannot have it unless God gives it to you. In fact, when Jesus was talking with his disciples, he told one at them at one time that this person couldn't even come to him unless the Father drew him. And so it is. We can do everything that the Bible tells us to do, but unless God does his part, you'll still be the same. You need a supernatural infusion. You need a Holy Spirit act to take place in your life for you to be a person of faith. But when I go to Bulgaria, I see something. And you know, this will be our 7th year going to Bulgaria. And this past year we went. We were amazed at the solar panels that were in the fields. All over the fields in Bulgaria, there was lots and whole acres of just solar panels. Here in this country, we are looking for renewable energy. We want to be energy self-sufficient so that we're not dependent on some nation that might blow apart. And we want to do it in order to take good, responsible care of our own resources. And so right now, our government and scientists and companies are exploring all the different ways to get more energy. Well, faith is like that. Faith is an energy that comes from heaven. Now, don't get all spooky New Agey. I'm not talking about the force being with you or anything like that. I'm talking about faith that is real. It is a substance. It is the word of God that comes to you that will take you through the deepest and darkest hour. It will help you to survive this coming year, and not to only survive it, but to be an excellent overcomer as you go through it. The faith, the Bible says, is that which is our victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. Paul said, I fought the good fight of faith. Jesus said to Peter, and I preached on it on Sunday, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have returned to me, encourage your brothers. Faith is a walking away from the Lord. And it happens at times to every believer. To some degree, at some level, where they don't realize it, but they're leaking. They're crackpots. The pot is cracked. And they're leaking. And it can happen to the best of us. It happens because of disappointments. It happens because of weariness and tiredness. It happens because people become disillusioned because they have unfulfilled expectations in the ministry and in their lives. It happens because a woman doesn't find a husband, and a husband doesn't find, or a man doesn't find a wife. It happens because parents see children going through a season of rebellion. It happens because a man loses his job and can't pay his bills. It happens because there's a fighting in a household. There are so many things that when we look upon them, tragedies might come, some kind of car accident. And the Bible says your faith will be tested. The trial of your faith is a biblical term. And when it comes, it can come like a car accident, or it can come like a long kind of dripping of rain that goes on for a week or a year or 5 years. And at the end of it, I've seen so many, even pastors, who are Holy Spirit, red hot, hellfire and brimstone preachers, lose their faith. And they didn't lose their salvation, but they stopped serving. And so if you are a person who's a believer and you're depressed, I say you've lost faith. If you are discouraged, you've lost faith. If you are not serving the Lord passionately, you've lost faith. If you have become detached, you've lost faith. If you haven't alienated yourself and withdrawn yourself from the people of God, you've lost faith. It's not the people. It's you and Jesus. Because all these circumstances have conspired against you to sift you like wheat. And if any of those signs are your signs, please do not raise your hand. But you're guilty. And you're lacking in faith. So over this month, we're going to talk about building your faith and building it powerfully so that you don't become shipwreck. Because I know pastors who become shipwreck. And if pastors can become shipwreck, if the teachers can become shipwreck, the leaders can become shipwreck, then certainly none of us can say it can't happen to us. But the Bible tells us what to do, how to avoid it, and how to walk strong in the faith, and how to have faith. And so you need to be like the solar panels in Bulgaria, where you learn how to tilt your receivers toward the sun Because you can't get faith by yourself. For a long time, scientists tried to get the energy from the sun into useful service in our communities to make electricity. But they found at first that it took so much to build these structures and how much energy they got from it was so little that it wasn't worth it. But the technology is changing all the time. And they have, once they get the electricity, they know how to do what they call step-up transformers to increase the electricity. See, there are things, while you can't make faith, there are things you can do to harvest it. You can harvest the resources of heaven if you understand what kind of person you're to be. Or you can be a lousy harvester, and you can ignore all the natural resources around you or the heavenly resources, and you can be a person who is not of faith. Because the Bible says that there are wicked men. In Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, it says there are evil men, for all men do not have faith. But it says in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, to everyone is given a measure of faith. It sounds like a contradiction. Romans says, everyone's been given faith. Thessalonians says, not everybody has faith. Well, what happened? They lost it. It leaked out. I think every child that I've ever met has faith. And they have to get beat up before they lose it. And life has a way of doing that. And then you need supernatural walk with God to get that faith built up again. And you have to have the crack in your pot fixed so you stop leaking the faith. And if you learn this, you'll learn to walk in faith. Before we talk about the overcoming faith, before we talk about faith for powerful acts of miracles and how to grow in faith, we need to look at ourselves and say, what kind of person should we be in order that we might get the resource, that we might work together with God, have our solar panels high-tech and tuned up and face in the right direction, and then have the step-up transformers so that we've got this energy, this fuel of faith in us, and it's powerful. If you do, then when this year brings its worst to you, when Hurricane, I don't know what the next one's going to be called, whenever it comes, and whatever its name is, when it comes, it'll shake you. But those things of God cannot be shaken. And you'll ride the storm and come out better at the other side of it than at its beginning. That's what happens when you learn how to harvest faith, how to harvest the oil from the ground, the gas, the wind energy, the sun's energy, how to harvest not those things, but heaven's faith. How can you do this? What is it that you can do? Because, you know, the armor that God tells us to wear in order to fight the battles, there's swords and there's helmets and there's breastplates. Anyone tell me what the faith is? That's right. And having the shield of faith to deflect all the wiry darts of the enemy. So the darts are going to come. Maybe some spears and arrows. Have your name on them for 2013. Maybe some of them have your name on them. I don't doubt it. Even Jesus promises it. He says, in this world you shall have tribulation. But. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Which part of the verse do you want to focus on? I like the last part myself. No matter what the prophets say about catastrophes and how they focus on them, you ought to be focusing on, but I have overcome the world, so be of good cheer. That's where your life is. That's where you need to walk. I like the people that always kind of correct me in the area of faith. Because I have a lot of faith. But sometimes when I'm talking with somebody and we're talking about the details of a situation, I start to explain the evil of something. And with some people, I get about 3 sentences in, and they stop me, and they say, but God. But God. And I say, yes, absolutely. Thank you. And I'm pretty good. And a lot of people who are 10 times worse than me, a lot of Christians are 10 times worse than me at being doom and gloom folk. So what is it? The shield of faith is what you need. And what do you have to do? Well, you have to design a faith lifestyle. And this faith lifestyle is a harvesting. It's a learning how to harvest faith in your life. So I'm going to give you 7 areas to work at. And these are things that you can do to make your life postured in such a way that God can give you faith. And I'm going to say them real quickly, and then we'll just go through them. You have to think positively, pray positively, speak positively, sing positively, act positively, serve positively, and give positively. Now let me say these to you a little slower. Because it's all about having a positive life. And that's why I started off this message with these couple of verses about Barnabas. For the Bible says that a certain man named Joseph, whom the apostles called son of encouragement, sold a piece of property that he had and took all the money and gave it to the apostles, laid it at their feet for the work of the Lord. And this man went down to Antioch. And there he told the people to press into God because he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And great numbers, multitudes, were added to the Lord because of Barnabas. So I love this man, Barnabas, and I think he has the faith lifestyle. He would have been a kind of person that you would want to go to Starbucks with. He's the kind of person you want to go out for lunch with after the Sunday morning service, because you will be uplifted by him. And there's some people that when you get together with, you're downcast when you leave them. Feel like you need to have a little shower or something. You know, you got to yuck. Ah. Other people you get together with, and well, it was okay. You know, it was nice. And then there's some people you get together with. They just energize you because everything about them is positive. Now, I'm telling you this because that's who you should be. And here we are at the beginning of a year. People are setting New Year's resolutions. This is not a fad I'm talking about. I'm talking about a continuous lifestyle that will be positive, that will be the good soil for you to have powerful faith, to be a person of faith. Because even Jesus taught about the seed, which is the word of God, that was sown, you remember? And he said some of the seed fell on different kinds of soil. And the soil is a picture of your heart. Some of it is stony. Some of it is beaten down and trodden hard. Some of it has a lot of distractions with weeds and cares of this world. And then there's tender hearts, full of faith, people who see the positive things of the Lord, people who take hold of the goodness of the Lord. They refuse to live in the garbage dump. They're going to live in the sunshine on the side of God's mountain. And that's where they know they're called to. And they go there. And that's where they live every day. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of their life is like. They live in the sunshine of God's provision. His Holy Spirit provision. And those people, they're flourishing in the joy of the Lord. So here they are. The first thing is to think positively. And this is a training. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. It says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of wickedness. And it says there that we have divine power to stop thoughts, speculations, basically conspiracies against Christ that would come in our minds. And so you have to have a gate that determines how you think. The other day, somebody was visiting in our home, and they had a movie on. I was out, and they put a movie on. They were staying overnight. And when I got in, I saw it was the Da Vinci Code. And I said, I don't want that in my house. It's anti-Christ. It's anti-God. It's anti-Bible. I can tolerate a lot of things, but not that. So I said, well, you know, I don't pay attention to those things. I'm just looking at the storyline. And I said, but not in my house. And they said, but I'm taping it, and I want to see the rest of it. And I said, you can do it in your house, but not in my house. Please turn it off. I'm really not a stiff shirt, you know. I like all kinds of movies, even fantasy movies, you know, and adventure movies. I love them. I love heroes. I don't like any movies that don't have a hero. If you want to know for me what's going to be a good movie, let there be a hero in it. There's no hero if it's just got all gobbledygook and everybody's bad at the end. That's depressing. I don't want to see it. I can tolerate a bad guy as long as there's a hero who puts him straight. Your thoughts, what you allow in. You've heard of the sheep gate. The sheep's coming, and the farmer wants to separate the ewes, that's the mama sheep, from the lambs. And because he's got to do a little operation on the lambs or whatever. And so they got to get rid of the mama. So what they do, they have this chute that is so narrow that only one sheep can get in it. Single file. But it Y's off. And at the apex of the Y, there's a gate. And it goes to this side and to that side. So when a mama sheep comes, they have it this way. And she goes down that road and into that pen. And then immediately they flip the gate over here. And the little guy, he's got to go into this pen. So now here comes some thoughts. And you have a sheep gate in your head. And you say, nope, yes, nope, yes, nope, yes. What is it you're saying yes to? Whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. Now this, we call this a positive soil so that something can grow in. Because if you don't have the good soil, you know, it doesn't produce good fruit. So you got to have a good brain. And don't be watching horror movies and vampire movies and junk. Don't fill your head with stuff that gives you nightmares and then wonder why you're getting nightmares. Don't do it. But think positively. You know, it's amazing. Some people spend more time worrying about their makeup or their fashions or what clothes they're going to wear than they do about what their soul should look like. So, the second thing is pray positively. Now, this is very important because you might say, well, if you're praying, isn't that positive? No, no. Some people pray negatively all the time. Oh, God, it's such a terrible world that we live in. And I don't think I can make it one more day. You get the hound dog howling, you know? You think you're singing a country western song when you're praying. And the dog's dying. And some people pray like that. God, take me out of this world. I don't think I can take it for one more day. Oh, let them stay for a lot longer. They're not ready to come to heaven yet. They haven't learned anything. What's positive prayer? Positive prayer doesn't ignore the truth, but it says, but Lord. It doesn't focus on the negative, but it says, Lord, I come to you boldly in the name of Jesus, for you're the God of extraordinary miracles, and nothing is difficult for you. And today I lift up to you my dear friend, Wayman Bullard. I lift up to you my dear friend, Natasha. Lord, let your Holy Spirit come upon them today and raise them up in power and heal them. Let the joy of the Lord shine upon them. That's praying positively. All right? God loves it. And there's a response to it. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Right? Not the prayer of, Lord, if it's your will, and if it's possible. We know you can do it. We don't think you will, but Lord, we ask you somehow to show a little mercy in your busy schedule. That's a whole lot of rhubarb. Don't pray like that. So you think positively and you pray positively. And then the third thing, this is a lifestyle change, is that you speak positively. Even prayer meetings can become gossip huts. Not in this church. And not in any church in Charlotte or in the Carolinas, but in other states. Some prayer meetings, I've heard, can be gossip centers. So when you see each other, be careful what you say. Because it's not just what goes into you that can make you sick. Jesus said, it's what comes out of you. That with what you speak has power to it. I remember one of the first times I was really corrected in this area. I was visiting Grandpa Derek Prince and Grandma Lydia way back in the day. And I said something. And she always jumped on you like, I don't know how to explain it. She's just like a lioness. If you spoke negatively, if you said, well, that person's real old, so I don't think they're going to live. Don't you say that, young man. That's a negative word. She wouldn't let me get away with anything. And she addressed it so quickly that I was very careful how I spoke in her presence. Every word had to be positive. So I thought about what I was saying. Now, this is good exercise. Oh, for more Lydias. And let me tell you, When you see each other, you speak a good word. You encourage each other as the day is. As the day is long, as the day, whatever it is, you encourage each other with your words. The other day, it was Sunday, I was greeting the folk. I always like to say something to everyone I meet that will encourage them. And there was Peggy Harris, who's had a struggle with great sickness this year. And she was reflecting on the message that I had preached, and she said, the message was so good for me because there are times when my faith has been tested. But I really do want to shine. I do want to shine as a woman of faith. I don't think I have done it all this year. And I said, yes, you have, Peggy. I said, I never once have seen you that you weren't shining, even in your most difficult moments. You spoke faith, and you shone with the glory of the Lord. And she started to tear up. And she said, really? She said, you don't know what that means to me for you to say that. Do you understand that you have the ability to speak life, and not just to other people, but to yourself? I don't like so much looking in the mirror now as when I did when I was younger, especially when I first get out of bed. And I think, man, I got to fix you up. You know, inside I still look young, but in the mirror, when I first get up in the morning, I don't know who that guy is. But I laugh at him, and I tell him some good things in the Lord. I speak positive things to myself. I will not curse myself. So I'll say, well, whatever you are, you're God's little package. So go and serve him with all your heart today. Now comb your hair, you scruffy guy. Do you understand that there should be something positive? Now, do you have some problems? Of course you do. But don't focus on them. Speak the good words of life. Change your lifestyle. Because these are the things that will tilt your solar panels toward the sun. So that God can give you faith. See, some people have no faith. They just have skepticism and criticism. And doubt about everything. Jesus said it like this. He said, John the Baptist did not come drinking any wine, and you called him demonized. And I came both eating and drinking, and you called me a glutton and a wine bibber. It's almost like Jesus was saying, we can't win. Which side we do this thing on? There are some people who have a negative disposition in their lives. Those are the people who have no faith. Do not be one of them. And whether you drink wine or you don't, do it in faith unto the Lord. So then you must sing positively. They say there's no blues in heaven. They don't sing the blues in heaven. Maybe we ought to qualify that a little bit. I think the tune they might like. After all, Pastor Jesse sung a few blues songs up here, but he talked about the resurrection, didn't he? But if you get my meaning, you shouldn't be singing just songs that will drag you down. There should be positive songs in your life. Some of the oldie goldies that my dad and mom wouldn't let me listen to because they were worldly songs actually turned out to be all right once I listened to them when I got older. But some of them weren't. There's a lot out there that's not. And so you ought to have a song, a good song. Little Asher, who's just a year old. How old is he? Is he 2 yet? Almost 2. He sings all day long, but nobody understands what he's saying because he doesn't talk clearly. Just a few words are starting to come together into focus right now. But he just sings, ah, la, 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 da, la, la, la. And he goes on all day long. He wakes up at 4 in the morning, and he's singing. He's just singing. And Pastor Jesse tells me, he says, so I, he says, I let him sing for a little while, you know, maybe 10 minutes. And then I go in there and say, come on, time to go back to sleep. He's a singing baby. And he's just full of happiness all the time. Yeah. So you got to be a singing person. If you're not a good singer, if you're tone deaf, well, sing just to you and Jesus. Jesus doesn't mind it if you're tone deaf. Other people do. But sing positively to the Lord. And then act positively. Your actions should always be positive. That means, well, you're just helping people. Tonight, we had a dozen or so people who were in the back room before the meeting started, who were stuffing envelopes with our next teaching letter. 1,200 envelopes plus, maybe 1,300 now, that we're sending out every month. I asked Denise, will you please call some people up and get them to come? She said, yes, yes. In fact, I was just talking with Pastor Jesse this past week or so, and how many people are taking ownership, and they're just, their actions are showing something that at Antioch that's very exciting because people are stepping up and saying, I'm going to be responsible and I'm going to do this and I'm going to help my church family. And of course, it's not just here, it's outside as well in the community and with your own personal family. But the actions of your life ought to be positive. Ought to be positive. I was just walking along here and I picked up a candy wrapper. And there was a person standing beside me, so there was a young person. I wouldn't have said it to an older person. But I said, when you see a candy wrapper like this, would you pick it up? And they said, yes, yes, I will. I said, great. But everything that we can do to help and bless and serve, and it's something that will add faith to our lives. You don't have to realize that this puts the right kind of mixture in the soil. It puts the peat moss and a little bit of sand and some silt and some nice manure into the soil so that it's ready. And then the sixth thing is that you should serve diligently. And you should serve passionately and positively. To serve positively means you do two things. One, you stretch out to find out what God wants you to do. But then you do something to serve that you're not sure that it's really who you are. But you sacrifice to do it because the job needs to be done. And you serve with diligence. And you serve positively. And lastly, you give positively. What does it mean to give positively? Well, you give with a cheerful heart. And you give generously. And you give spontaneously. I love spontaneous giving. So we just got a shipment of Volume 2, Great Reward for Kids, Sunday School books. You know, they cost $75 each. And I said, well, I want to send some out to people around the nation, churches who in some way are friends with us or work with us or whatever. I just want to give them. So I started going through the list. Okay, let's give one there. Let's give one there. Let's give one there. Let's go. By the time I had finished, we gave out about 200. Just sent them out. Of course, the shipping alone cost $800. Just for the stamps. And I love it. Don't you love it? Just to be able to give generously. Just to give something. Just to bless somebody. To bless the work of the Lord. Now, if you do all of these things, just imagine what kind of person you might be. Think of it for a minute. If you thought positively and you prayed positively and you sang positively and you spoke positively and you acted positively and you served positively and you gave positively, I'll tell you what will happen. God will really love you. I said that up in Indiana a little while ago. I said, if you do these things, God will love you. Some people took real offense to it because they said, God loves everybody. I said, yeah, but he's real affectionate with some. There's different kinds of love. He loves everybody redemptively. But there are people who he loves intimately. He loves personally. As a dear, dear friend of his. And if your life is positive in all of these ways, you'll start to shine. If you do it and you don't think that you're doing it, you just do it. It just becomes your lifestyle to be a positive person. Then the faith of God will start to rise within you. He will give you the gift of faith. Like Barnabas, for he was a good man, son of encouragement, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. And many were added to the Lord because of him. So we're going to be talking now over these next three more nights, about growing your faith, about overcoming faith, and about powerful acts of faith. This lifestyle of faith, learning to harvest faith, learning to get the faith resource, the faith energy or fuel, by living and posturing your life before God to be so positive. That's where you start. And then when you do the things that God tells you to do, how to exercise your spiritual muscles so that faith comes and grows. Then you can be a very powerful, very anointed person. And this year, whatever comes at you will only add to your blessing, no matter how difficult it might seem when you're hit by it. So this month, we're going to take steps. Our first message was understanding that we can lose faith. And what are the signs that could tell us about losing faith? How can we watch out for that? Now we've talked about the soil of our life. What kind of people we should be in order that God may give us faith. And then in the next three messages, we'll go to a whole new level of growing faith, learning about overcoming faith, and learning how to operate in acts of powerful faith. Let's pray and dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Father, we do thank you for this night, for your precious Holy Spirit, and for the training that you've brought us in. At the beginning of this year, we are thankful that, Lord, you're posturing us with strength. You're posturing us to be victorious overcomers. We receive the word of the Lord and we go forward now to do exploits in your name. We receive the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We pray it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.